Hey there, welcome to Mind Declutter. I'm your host, Athea Davis. It's a chaotic world out there, and in here, our mind. Through conversations and my own personal musings, we'll explore a variety of topics like meditation, mindfulness, well-being, philosophy, psychology, history, science, culture, emotional intelligence, basically everything, because it's all connected. In an effort to declutter the inner and outer static so we can challenge our thinking, broaden our perspective, and deepen our experience as a human. Hey there, welcome to episode 153, cell phone bans, paying attention, and different meditation techniques. Something I know that many of us wish we could pull out of our back pocket when we need that focus and that self-control in such a busy technological world with the pings and the dings and the notifications. Our attention is being hijacked in so many ways. So it is so important that we have tools to help us really focus our attention, to get some of that attention back so we can create and do all the great things that we are meant to do in the world. And while meditation techniques are amazing, and I'm going to share some today, it's also super helpful to put good things into your body that can help your brain and your body focus. There is a productivity shot that I have recently tried from Magic Mind that can help you with your focus and your energy, less stress, yes, to all of those that have natural ingredients like lion's mane mushroom, ceremonial matcha. Okay, they're speaking my language here. I know they're going to be speaking yours. And for less stress, things like ashwagandha and turmeric. And it's a tiny shot that you can take, not instead of tea and coffee. Oh my goodness, because I just, you know how much I love my tea. I've talked about it before. But you can take, in addition to your tea and coffee, to just really help you gain a little more focus and energy and less stress, so you can take back some of that control in your day. So give it a try, magicmind.com, and you get a discount if you use the code MINDDECLUTTER20. Make sure to go to magicmind.com, MINDDECLUTTER20. All right, thinking about paying attention and putting all that natural good stuff into our body, there are also some things that we can do in terms of practices, right? Meditation techniques. But before I dive into that, there are a couple of hot topics that are happening. Maybe in your city and or in your state, this is happening as well, especially if you're a teacher or you're a parent and you have a school-aged child that has access to cell phones and social media. You might know and have probably listened on prior episodes that we are in a mental health crisis here in the United States. I briefly talked about it on the episode on adolescent mental health, where even the CDC came out with their report, their special report on adolescent health and mental health and well-being, and recommend a host of things, including mindfulness in schools, to help alleviate this rise in adolescent mental health that we're seeing. And there's a lot of talk and conversation and research coming out about how cell phones and social media are having an adverse impact on not just our adolescents, but all of us. But for my purpose today, I'm really going to be focusing on our kiddos. Because if you have a phone, I mean, most of us have a phone nowadays, you know what a strong pull that it has over our attention. Given any time you've gone on to social media, that can be a great place to connect and meet new people and learn new things. Without some self-control, it can really overtake your attention in your day, and you just find yourself maybe randomly scrolling through and an hour goes by, or you post something and you're checking on it. And you just kind of, you get pulled into the phone vortex because of the way it's designed, and it interacts with our neurophysiology, that we have that instant hit of dopamine, that gratification of like, hey, what's happening? Okay, this feels good. And we want more. And when we're getting more of that, we are actually creating, I forget the technical term, but it's like, each time, you know, we get on, the dopamine that we're getting isn't sufficient enough. And so we even invest more time in social media and the apps that we enjoy on our phone to get that sense of enjoyment and relief in terms of like neurophysiologically is what I'm talking about, right? We're not thinking about it that way, but that is what's happening. So a little bit of mindful attention training can help us. Is it going to be the end all be all? No, but it's going to be a huge tool in our toolbox, just like I was talking about, like with Magic Mind, having those natural little superpowers, I like to call them, that you are putting into your body to really optimize your brain and body can help as well. But we, you know, our young people have a problem and an attention problem. We all have this attention problem. And schools are looking at policy measures to really overcome this mental health crisis. What can schools do? So some schools are banning cell phones. Many schools have had policies that you can have, you have cell phones on campuses, but you have to keep them in your backpack. You stow them away in a locker or some storage area in the classroom, and you're not allowed to bring them out in class. If you do have the phones in class, at many campuses, their policies are that the phones are taken away, then the parents have to pay a fee to pick up the phone. Maybe you've been involved in that yourself. But it seems to be more cracking down in terms of policy measures on phone usage in schools as it relates to our young people. Florida just passed a law, or social media. There's a social media ban for ages 14 and under. So I think, 14 and under. So, and I bring this up not to dive into the policy issues so much, but really as a question that I think we should all be thinking about and asking ourselves is policy the answer to solving this mental health crisis? It certainly has stirred a lot of attention, as we're talking about, a lot of attention and conversation, as I am now talking about this with you, on what can policy do to help reduce the mental health crisis. I think in my own personal thinking about this is that having strong policy can be a really good thing. Now, there are lots of pros and cons. There may be, issues with how much this impedes on freedom to parent and, implement your own rules and how you want to govern that yourself and your own family and your own household. And I certainly am a strong proponent of more freedoms, more policy measures in a sense. So this might sound kind of contradictory, but sometimes we need policy measures to make a statement, right? Like right now, I think for Apple ID users, is it 13 years old or is it 15 years old? I think it's 13 years old. So having these in place can be really helpful things, but I don't think it's going to solve the mental health crisis or our attention issue. I think, you know, what it can do is when we have these policy measures in place, it creates an environment where we begin talking about it with more seriousness. Like, oh, hey, this is a policy issue. It might be infringing on some freedom that I have in my parenting or how I want to approach this or what I'm doing at school or whatever it is. And now I'm really paying attention, right? Because maybe it didn't impact me before. So I think in that sense, it can bring some much needed attention or more serious attention and discussion around the issue. That being said, policy can only go so far. So I definitely think it's a balance of policy and what tools are being taught in school and information shared and that partnership created between what's going on at home and at school as it relates to young people. And that brings me to mindful attention and meditation techniques. Another reason that I truly believe mindfulness-based social-emotional learning is not only important, but in today's world, an imperative to success for everyone, for our parents, for our teachers, for our students. It's an imperative. We have to teach our young people how to cultivate some mindful attention and self-control. And those are developed through habits of learning, for instance, some mindfulness or meditation techniques that can help one train the mind so you always have that tool in your toolbox. And I'm not going to go through all of the meditation techniques today. I do want to share a couple that I think can be really powerful that you can share in your own home, in your own classroom. And the best thing I think we can do as adults is model what that looks like. And then, you know, I do want to share a couple of things that we could do to kind of, you know, break away from our technology devices for some time to give ourselves a reset. But I do think having no phones in the classroom, I think that's a good thing. I think if there's a lesson that you want to have your students engage with their technology, I think that that's also a good thing. But you have to be really clear about what those parameters are for that lesson or that activity or the project. And then for the activities that do not require that, I think you also have to have really clear rules and parameters around what that phone use looks like. You know, maybe it goes into a bin in the classroom and then everybody gets it back, or, you know, and that's kind of what I'm thinking, because I think some teachers try, like, with the older students, keeping the phone on your desk and turning it over. That might be pretty hard to monitor when you want to make sure that you have all of your students' attention. That way you're not fully taking up the phone at the school, but it is going into a bin in the room, and that's just part of your classroom rules. And that is what it is, and you have that conversation with parents at home, and everybody moves forward going on. I think trying to do that maybe in the middle of the year might be a hard thing. That's something you can certainly do at the beginning of the year. There might be absolutely some resistance in the beginning, but I think what we're finding is once you're pulled away from that technology device for a bit, you start noticing the positive benefits of not having your attention hijacked like that and being able to focus on whatever it is that you're doing at that time in your learning or in your focused work that you're doing. So I think it's going to take many different efforts from many different sides for us to kind of to fight this, the impact that technology and social media have on our young people. And I don't think it's just a one type of thing, a one policy thing, or, hey, as long as we ban cell phones in schools, then we're making a positive difference. Not quite. It's going to take more than that. So it's definitely a balance of, like, personal freedoms and policy and what's really going to make an impact. And I think what really makes an impact is when we teach others how to have that self-control. And sometimes that's not enough, right? Like, we have to have the policy to say, hey, like, if, for instance, like at summer camps, which I think is a great thing for kids to get away from technology for a long period of time, 1 week, 2 weeks, a month, that there is no technology there. There is no access to it. So we can have access, or our kids can have access to free play and boredom and creativity and make connections beyond what's happening on their cell phones. And I haven't really talked to a young person yet that didn't have a time off their technology device that didn't end up saying, oh yeah, I feel much better that I'm not constantly on it. And so that's where policy can play a really important role, whether it's like a local policy, like a camp policy or rule, a school policy or rule, or we're taking it more on like a state policy that, hey, we're really in a crisis here. We need to do something as, a wider community. I want to point you in the direction of Jonathan Haidt. He was recently on the Joe Rogan podcast, and he has a book, The Anxious Nation, or The Anxious Generation. And he talks about some different recommendations, some of which may be really hard to do, like keeping your kiddos off social media at certain ages. It may be possible. You know, I'm not really sure. I don't have the answers. Again, I just wanted to start this as a conversation. Like, what does that look like? If you have ideas, definitely share them. DM me on social media. Feel free to email me. I would love to hear what's working maybe in your classroom or what's working in your home or even like what you're struggling with. And all that said, we know that there's a struggle out there. It's happening in all households. It's happening in schools. It's happening everywhere. What can we do? We teach these techniques, but it's not just enough to teach the techniques, right? How do we help our kids and how do we embody these practices? Well, like any habit, we take one step at a time to build that habit into our system. And one of the easiest things we can do with a meditation technique is just through something called breath awareness, that we, for 1 to 2 minutes, we ask our students, we do a group practice, a collective community practice, and we say, okay, our breath awareness is like, we're going to pay attention to our breathing. And it's okay that it's not going to sound super exciting, but it's going to feel amazing. I have rarely, had students say that they didn't feel some kind of impact. Maybe it's not always positive or amazing, though many students do feel that when they take that moment and say, okay, I'm going to take a big breath in, I'm going to take a big breath out, and they focus on their breath through the guide of the teacher or the parent or an app, and they're really just focusing on an inhale and an exhale, or you can do something really quick as a class, just taking a collective breath in and a collective breath out, and you build that in as part of the culture, and over time, it doesn't seem as odd or weird, right? It just becomes you. It becomes you because you have practiced so much. You have developed that habit. It's no longer hard. You don't have to have conscious choice to do it. It is unconscious, like things that we do all the time, like brushing our teeth in the morning, or the things that we do throughout the day repetitively to get ready for the day. So breath awareness is a really simple meditation technique. I think that we could all be doing for free in our home that could have an immense positive impact in all of our lives. You can, and I've probably mentioned this before, you could try to do it in the car, or, do it as part of your dinner or breakfast routine. Add it to something you're already doing with your kids or your students. So you're habit stacking, you're not creating a separate time. And just take that breath awareness or a mindful breath, and you're teaching the skill, you're teaching the tool, and everybody's learning a little bit more self-control and gaining a little bit more of their attention back. So that's number one. Another one is just to do a quick body scan. This one, can be a little bit longer, but you can pick different parts of the body. It gives your mind something to focus on as you are engaging in that mindful breath. So you can still engage in that deep breath in through the nose and a slightly longer exhale out of the mouth. You do that, but you're asking your attention to focus on certain body parts, just kind of like scanning inside of your body. You can start with your feet or your toes and your feet and go up to your legs and your hips, the belly, the chest, shoulders and arms, hands, your neck, your face, your hair, your whole body. And you're just scanning those different parts of the body and noticing any sensations that you might feel without judgment. And that's another tool that I want to throw your way and highly encourage you to use. Now, while there's also meditations like loving kindness or transcendental meditation where you repeat a mantra, I can mention this one actually really quick. I'm not going to go over loving kindness. I've probably talked about it before and can do a completely separate episode on that. But transcendental meditation is just a repeating a certain phrase. And sometimes that just requires a word that you may find really comforting. It may be an affirmation that you really love. It could be a type of energy that you want to create in that moment. So if you're feeling really unfocused, you could repeat the, I am focused in ease. And you just repeat that over and over along with your breath. If that's too long, you can just, repeat the word focus or repeat the word calm. It could be as simple or as complex as you want. But with kiddos, I really advocate for them repeating like affirmations. I am ease. I am calm. And, do that for a few times. And when you notice that your attention begins to wander, you bring it back to that that little mantra, that little affirmation. We talked a little bit about that and how to stay present. So if you want to listen to that episode, definitely tune in there. But I didn't want to dive too deeply. This is more of a thumbnail sketch, trying to get a conversation started about cell phone bans, paying attention, and different meditation techniques. That to remind ourselves that while policy is changing all the time, that we always have the power and the full control over ourselves, what's going on in our homes and our classrooms. And by learning these techniques, that's where you really lean into your full power of gaining your attention back, of helping your students gain their attention back, is by practicing some of these tools and techniques. And giving yourself grace, because we're not going to be perfect and we're going to be pulled in multiple different directions. We, of course, love our technology and we use it for so many different things and it's awesome. So in balance, right? So it's not a thing about technology. It's just learning how to transform and change our relationship to it through becoming more disciplined and building healthier habits as it relates to our relationship with technology. And then really, once you do that, the policies then really don't matter. I mean, it's good to have them. Yeah, thinking about a classroom and you need full attention, phones have to be put away during some major testing. There's a reason why, we don't want anybody to have access to answers. We want students fully focused. Or if you're at camp, we want kids being fully immersed in that experience. So it's good to have those rules. And thinking about your own times at home, maybe you have mini fasting moments where you put the phone away for dinner time, or you have longer periods of time where you agree like you're going to go out for a number of hours outside and you put the phone away. You can create those own policy / rules in your own home so you can create some of that mindful attention in your own space. But the policy measures, I think, are important because it just brings more attention to the issue and helps us talk about it and find perhaps even more local solutions that we hadn't had before. So that's what I have for you today. Cell phone bans, paying attention, and different meditation techniques. Even reading or like contemplation. I have in my book, Today's Going to Be Awesome Sauce, Daily Meditations for Youth, Parents, and Families, 365 ways of contemplating and practicing. Another meditation technique is that contemplation where you read something and you reflect on it or you share with each other. And that is another way that you can engage in a meditation practice. But the most easiest way is just your breath awareness, practicing that breathing awareness. The body scan is a really good one that you can do anytime, anywhere. And that transcendental meditation, just that repeated, you repeat words, you repeat a phrase, you repeat a mantra, your word of the year. I mentioned one here. I am calm. I am ease. I am joy. I am calm. I am ease. I am joy. And that could be the energy that you'd like to cultivate for that period of time that you're trying to get some work done. But I'd love to, I'm going to dive into this, you know, more, perhaps in a later episode, to really dig into what this might look like and what others are suggesting. So if you guys have any tips on who I should be talking to dive into the cell phone bans and schools and policies, definitely let me know. You can DM me or email me, and I will connect with those experts and see if they'd like to come on the show and talk about it. But I hope that you're doing well. I hope that you will take up some of these tools and techniques and put that good stuff into your body. As I mentioned at the beginning of this episode, don't forget to go to magicmind.com. Use that code MINDDECLUTTER20 to get a discount for your productivity shot, so you can get even more focus, more energy, less stress with all those natural ingredients that I mentioned. MagicMind.com, using the code MINDDECLUTTER20. It's been awesome to be here with you today. I do hope you find some value in this episode, at least to get your own conversation started, maybe in your classroom, in your school community, in your home, on how you are going to tackle the issue of cell phones and social media on our attention and on our young people's mental health. And one big thing I mentioned today is you can teach yourself and practice yourself and teach kids different mindfulness and meditation techniques. A few of them I shared with you today. All right, until next time, have an amazing day. I will see you in the next episode. Bye for now. Thank you for listening to Mind Declutter. I hope you gained valuable insight from this episode. If you did, please take a minute to share with someone in your community, and don't forget to subscribe to the show. I would love to connect with you on social media. You can find me on most channels at Athea Davis. To sign up for my newsletter, Mind Declutter, and to learn more about my courses, events, and books, please visit my website at atheadavis.com. You can also join my newsletter on Substack at Athea Davis. Don't forget to take some time to pause, breathe, and reflect.